everyone, and welcome to Deeper. My name is Austin Slater, and this is the Deeper Podcast. This is a ministry of Friendship Christian Reformed Church. Basically, it's a chance for me and for you as listeners to sit down and to interact with the pastors, talk with them, learn from them, see what more we can learn from the scripture from the last week and from the sermon from the last week. And so I'm really glad to be here. I love getting the chance to do this. And joining me today is Pastor Dan Kinnis. Dan, thanks again, as always, for joining us.
Yes, thank you, Austin. It's good to be together again.
It's good to be together, and it's good to be celebrating Resurrection Sunday again.
Yes.
You know, kind of that culmination of, like, the whole faith thing we're doing.
Yeah, yeah, our Super Bowl, as it were, yeah.
Right. Oh, and there's so much good that comes out of this. And I think the sermon that you delivered on Sunday was really, really leaned into a lot of that. So why don't you go ahead and just explain for the listeners who might not have heard the sermon on Sunday, just kind of explain what we went over, what we talked about.
Yep. So we were in Mark 16, the last chapter and verses of Mark there. We'd spent the last several weeks of Lent in Mark, and this time at the resurrection account in the Gospel of Mark. And we talked about it from the perspective of a new beginning and how the cross seems like an ending. Jesus is dead. He's buried. But resurrection brings a new beginning, and not just for that day, but overall. And so we touched on some of the hints of that new beginning that come in the text, just some of the time of it's a new week. And, you know, there's new people all of a sudden involved, and just some of those things, but just kind of overall seeing, of course, how resurrection changes everything. Jesus' resurrection changes everything. It filters into every area of our lives when we believe in him, and new beginnings. It relates, as I think we'll talk about too, just new beginnings in general as we face them, and we often do in this life.
Right.
So as I said at the outset, it's hard to know how do you talk about resurrection and Jesus' resurrection. It's so important to the Christian faith, of course, the linchpin, but it's also, if I'm talking to someone who's not a believer, it's a difficult topic. You know, this is not something that just happens every day in the world. And so you feel, honestly, a bit deficient in trying to talk about this and give it due voice. But that was the direction we went yesterday, and thinking about those new beginnings.
Yeah, and that new beginnings, it's a theme right now. I mean, on the day we're recording this, it's supposed to be almost 70 degrees. It's like high 60s. I've got some flowers starting to bloom in my garden. Mm-hmm. Like, we're starting to actually get this new beginning of springtime and just living in that luxury of the new beginning of a new year of warmth, mm-hmm. Especially for those of us who really don't like the winter, don't do well in the
yeah.
cold.
Yep.
And so that kind of made me think, you know, a lot of us are, and you kind of talked a little bit about this, but a lot of us are going through a season of new beginnings, not just the weather, but whether it's our stage of life. So some people are, you know, just having kids or getting ready to get married or to graduate and go to college or go beyond college. And, you know, for me, none of those things are happening, but I'm getting excited to just start a new season of time actually living with my wife.
Right.
Yes. We're ending this immigration saga. And so I was wondering, you know, we talked about looking at all of our new beginnings through the perspective of the resurrection, which is huge, critical key. Mm. If you guys want to hear more about that, like, listen to the sermon. It's in the show notes. But what might a do you just have any advice for those of us going through new beginnings, whether good, bad, or ugly?
Right.
Like, practically, what's some thoughts you have on that?
Yeah, I'll start off with just the caveat that, you know, I'll give some ideas here, but there's probably so much more, and I'm no expert by any means on maybe perspective matters or that. Let's just start by saying, and I don't know who all's listening, you know, it's easy here to assume probably Christian audience and people from Friendship Church in particular, but in general even, I think what I've noticed culturally, and you can probably verify this or not too, is that we tend to be more and more cynical these mm-hmm. days, or pessimistic perhaps. And even when new situations come about that look pretty good, we're still often cynical. So you mentioned, you know, spring coming around, and I think a lot of times we do enjoy it, but there's this part of us more and more that seems to be like, but then there's going to be another fall and another winter. You
right.
know, I mean, we're already kind of almost...
Spring is here, but winter is coming.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of going to that dreaded point. And so I guess my one encouragement would be, even if you were someone who's just curious about the Christian faith, is to really try to combat some of that cultural cynicism we have, mm-hmm. and to lean into a bit this new beginning, whatever it might be. And I know a lot of them aren't positive, even on the surface, right? I mean, there's people maybe listening who are going through things, but it's so easy to just to lean into that cynicism. And Of course, we can't control the situations often that come our way sometimes, but a lot of times not. But we can't control how we respond to them. And I think, you know, when I'm being cynical and pessimistic in that way, which, you know, I can tend to do that too, I'm not helping myself.
Yeah.
And I'm almost self-fulfilling prophecy in that way. So that would be one piece. I would think, you know, for a Christian who's listening to this and thinking about Easter as we just celebrated and, you know, thinking about new situations, as I think about that for yourself, as you mm-hmm. mentioned in your own life, something that hit me, I actually used it as kind of my blessing at the end of the service yesterday. And part of it was this seeking piece. And we see the women seeking Jesus, even when it seems almost ridiculous for them to do so, going to the tomb there. And I wonder, in a new situation, how you can be seeking in faith with the Lord, kind of just looking, okay, Lord, what do you have here in this situation? What are you doing? And I want to seek this out with you, that intentional maybe time of prayer. Maybe it's journaling for someone who likes to do that. Maybe it's conversation with someone else, depending on what's your place. Seek that out with him. And then I would say, again, from a Christian perspective, any new situation is an opportunity for service, maybe in a new way too.
Mm.
And if I love the Lord, okay, you're giving now this opportunity. You know, so for yourself, you know, you and Danica coming together now, like, there's a new opportunity for us to maybe serve in a different way than the two of us, being separated by a country border and all this and that. Maybe, again, there's a lot of, and sometimes there's new situations we're grieving, and we have to give ourselves time for that. But hopefully at a point we look at, like, okay, you know, my family too, we just had recent diagnosis with cancer for my dad, right? And you think about that, and it hits you pretty hard at first, and you wonder about it. But then, okay, well, Lord, how do I maybe serve you out of this? Maybe there's others I can speak to from who I am in Christ that it could be very helpful, just for an example.
Yeah.
And then I think lastly, and I mentioned this at the end of the blessing, just this hopeful kind of peace. And that is, you know, how do we follow Jesus in hope? And so maybe especially in our cynical kind of culture and society, and maybe especially in situations where, the new beginning isn't one we were looking forward to. What does it look like to follow Jesus with a hopeful perspective that because we know he's been raised from the dead mm-hmm. and he's promised that to us and all things are pointing in that eternal direction, how can I still follow him in hope even when this situation is one that seems like I don't want any part of it?
Well, and it's like the women, you know, Jesus was dead.
Yeah.
And they're going to the tomb.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, there is no real hope there, and yet they were still like, we're gonna figure this out,
right?
You know, we're gonna take these steps,
right,
and do what we can in the moment and what we know to do in the moment.
Yeah, it's a perfect example, right? Because again, on the surface, understand culturally they want to do something, they anointed bodies, but it still seems, you know, kind of hopeful or almost foolish from the outside, like, well, he's gone, you know. Well, no, there's still some hope there, and there's still this love and devotion there, and
mm-hmm.
Even more so for us who know what they didn't know yet, that he was alive. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that transitions fairly well, because I was really struck by something I haven't been struck by before. So when we were talking about these women, so, you know, Jesus is dead. He's been dead a few days, and the women go to the tomb. They go to, you know, prepare the body and, you know, bring these spices and these herbs and, like, honor him with that. And the disciples are not doing that.
The 12.
The 12 disciples are not doing that. They are isolated. They're in a room. They're kind of hiding from everyone right now. They're out of the public eye. And it just kind of struck me the difference in how the disciples responded. These women who are, you know, have been with Jesus and the 12 for so long. And they're going and they're giving honor to Jesus. And the 12 are just kind of, they're not just moping, but that's kind of the vibe I get. And is it reading too much to be, like, disappointed in the 12 at this point? or...
I like the way you put it there, because I think that will give us some good things to talk about together. I would love to one day just get to talk with all these who were there right that morning. What was going through your head, and what were you thinking about? I mean, the women, when they received this report of the tomb, how did you receive that? And it's hard to imagine how shocking the whole events of this whole week would have been, and hard to process. So I think, one, you do want to highlight the devotion of the women that go to the tomb.
Yeah.
And just how they're going there. They're still seeking Jesus. We talked about that, and maybe that's the best emphasis in some way. That's sort of a place to be. Like, even when we're not sure what God's doing, we're still going after him, and we're still pursuing
right.
in faith.
Well, and even from a practical standpoint, like, that's healthy grieving.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, going and doing these funeral rites.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. It's trying to process this and what's happened. And I mean, you could easily say from the outside, too, like, well, Jesus had told you several times in the book of Mark, even, that he was going to do this. But again, how would I have received that? And I think you used the word, is it all right if I feel a little bit disappointed in the disciples? And I think in some ways, humanly, you're like, oh, man, these are supposed to be the pillars of the church. And boy, shouldn't they have stood up stronger with Jesus? In another way, I know exactly what they're going through and exactly what that experience even is like to, I guess, be disappointing in my following of Jesus. Mm. And I think there's a very human relation there to all of us. This is where we need the grace of Jesus, right? And we talked about that even on Good Friday. He stands alone, really, as the faithful one. Everybody else falls by the wayside. And, you know, of course, even for the women, too. Like, it's not like they were there thinking, like, oh, what are you guys crying about? He's about to be raised up 3 days from now. That wasn't in their minds,
right?
Even though they would have heard it. So there is just a realization that we all stumble in our following of Jesus. And even Peter and James and John and all the others, it happens, right? And it's so good to know. We tried to highlight that a bit too Sunday, that doesn't mean Jesus is done with us.
Mm-hmm.
He's forgiving. This is why he's come. And he says, go and tell them, the disciples and Peter, especially Peter, he probably needs to hear it, that I'm going to meet them in Galilee. And I think that's so encouraging personally, because, you have days where you feel like you're very in tune and following the leads of the Spirit, and others where I'm following my own lead. And I know it. And that stumbling's hard to deal with. But then there's Christ reminding me again, well, this is why I've come. Mm-hmm. Yes, you stumbled here. Yeah, let's work on going forward, but let's go forward. And I think that's encouraging as well. And again, sometimes you think of the disciples as these super holy people.
And then the other times, man.
Yeah.
They really, you know.
Credit to the Gospels, right? They don't hide this stuff. If you were just trying to, you know, hold up Peter, like, oh, here's the rock of the... You wouldn't include any of this stuff about his denials. But here it is. It's in living color. It's raw. And it's the failings are very clear, especially in the Gospel of Mark, I think.
So that's a really helpful way to frame it, in that, like, we aspire to be like these women. In reality, we're not always going to be like that, and that's okay, because Jesus redeems that.
Yes.
I really like that way of thinking about it.
Yeah, and it's good. We shouldn't get, Jesus is going to forgive everything anyway, so who cares, right?
Paul
addresses that, but yeah, like I said, we all are going to not be perfectly devoted. And
and understanding things. That even the 12, they mess up and they fail.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need to look to the people that we societally will look down on as the people who are following more aptly.
Yeah, that's right. And sometimes we almost know so much that we get ourselves into trouble. Pastor Tim brought that out at the sunrise service. You know, the chief priests, they get the report in the Gospel of Matthew. Hey, there was an earthquake. The body's gone, right? Oh, well, they don't say, like, well, maybe we should go check this out. Maybe this guy is who he says he was. No, just tell them the disciples took it. And we can be pretty stubborn once we've made up our minds on what we think things are and how they go and don't go. And that's a reminder, too, as disciples. That's some of the more dangerous ground maybe for us, because we think we have it pretty well figured out, and God's
and the fine line between disciple and Pharisee.
Yeah, that's right. And God surprises us. I mean, look at resurrection. We're celebrating resurrection from the dead. I mean, you know, this is a power beyond our control, absolutely, which is very good, but it causes us some discomfort.
Right, yeah. Well, Dan, there's so much in resurrection. Mm-hmm. There's so much there. What more would you like to highlight from that text that we didn't go into on Sunday?
Boy, yeah, I know it's. I think, and I said it at the outset, but just the humbleness, I think we should just approach all that with as Christians. And we need to talk about it because this is, as you said, the center point of our faith. Everything is held together by the resurrection, confirmed by the resurrection of Jesus. But also understanding that, there's going to be people that have a hard time with that in this world. And that's understandable. I think, honestly, as Christians, we don't get it all. And so I think that's helpful, too, even as we think about maybe sharing about Jesus with our neighbors. And, yeah, they might be skeptical about resurrection, and that is pretty normal. But we
if you're not skeptical about resurrection, that's more the unusual
Tell me why
part.
You're not.
Right, yeah.
Have you experienced this? Yeah, but, so I think it's a really a good thing. And I don't know. I think we've touched on a lot of it with the New Beginnings. And I think that's maybe I'll reiterate that one point we made with the disciples coming off of them, that there's a lot of times I think that we can be tricked into believing that this new beginning isn't for us. I've ignored it for this long. I've sinned in this way. I have these habits. I have this history. But that is not the message, even in those short verses from Mark. And Jesus says to those disciples who you've noted failed. I mean, they failed. They fell on their face. And yet Jesus very clearly sends a message to them. I plan to meet you. I plan to go forward with you. I'm going to empower you even. And I think that says to us as well that Jesus is inviting us. He's receiving. He knows full well how we are and aren't.
Yeah.
And yet he still has come for us. And so if you're listening and, you know, you're just wondering about that, you think, oh, it's just for people like myself or Austin or whoever else. No, I mean, this is always the opportunity. It's always the time Jesus has come, died and been raised to life for us and for you. So. Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Well, so then we're now, in a way, this whole looking at new beginnings is very apt for us because we're just about to start a new sermon series. So we finished up with Lent and our Way of the Cross, and we're looking towards a new beginning. Could you give us just like an inkling of what we have to look forward to moving forward?
Yeah, for sure. This one will be a little less organized perhaps than some of the others, but after Easter, we've always found it fitting to talk about mission, the mission of God's people, the mission we have as Christians. And so that's next 2 weeks in particular, we're going to do some mission emphasis, and we're going to have a few of people that we've been privileged to work with in different ministries that will be with us in worship. But Pastor Tim's planning to preach on the Good Samaritan story next week, and then the following week I'll be preaching out of the same chapter in Luke. Just earlier in the chapter as Jesus sends out the 72. But then, yeah, we're going to continue into May with some mission kind of centered passages and thoughts. And since we're the resurrected people, what does that mean? Right? We live a new
life.
We
live in mission.
Yeah, we have a new part of the story. We have a new role. And so there's so much there, too. But that's kind of what we're looking forward to the next, call it about 5-6 weeks. Sandwiched in there, we have our youth service we're looking forward to as well, where they're going to lead us and their gifts and some of the things they've been thinking about this year, too. But, yeah, it's a good, as we head to the summer, and if you're here in the Midwest and West Michigan, it's a time when people are out again. And my neighbors, I know it was beautiful yesterday, and everybody was out, and it's a chance for conversations. And how do we do that with our neighbors? How do we live as Christians before the world? And that's part of our mission, too. So this is a great springboard into...
It's perfectly apt
yes,
for it.
Yes, nice time of year. And, you know, winter, we're kind of all closed up to ourselves. But now here's the chance. You know, what is it like to live that as we're working at school, vacationing, whatever we might be doing in the months ahead. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. Good, good, good. Well, Dan, thank you so much for sitting down and chatting about this. Always appreciate that. Listeners, thank you so much for joining, for walking with us, for learning with us. We always appreciate any thoughts, questions, comments, concerns, points of rebuttal, just anything you might have that you might want us to wrestle with. Love to hear those. Feel free to send them to me in an email at aslater@friendshipcrc.org. And we look forward to going deeper with you again next week. God bless you all.